Let's pray together as a congregation. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are interceding in first place for ourselves, that we may be able to receive thy word with gladness, and that we be able to praise thy name with the whole heart and the whole mind. Father, we pray for the ministries of our church, and one of them include our missionaries. And we do have missionaries in Ukraine, our brother Fred and Carol Lewis ministering in Ukraine. And Father, for our missionaries in Spain, in northern Spain, in Huasca, Carl and Ruth Knott, and then Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain. And Father, here locally, we have our brother Ruben and Irene Zachert, and then the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. Thank you, Father, that allow us not only to minister within a congregation, but also sending these people out so that they can be a light in the storms of life. And Father, we also are thankful for the radio ministry, the opportunity to reach many thousands of people via radio, and for the tape ministry, another quantity of people being reached because of our tape across America. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Father, we are thankful for our country, America. And how do we pray that our president may have the mind of Christ, that you may intervene in his life, and that you will conquer whatever need to be conquered, and that he may, in a moment of life, may receive the great gift that man can receive, the presence of Christ for reality. And I know our country will change if from the top people will change to Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that you may bless our president with the gift of a spiritual discernment and a spiritual life. Father, we are also grateful that we have a free country, that we can preach the word of God. And we pray that you will protect us. And in mercy, you will keep us free so that we can proclaim Jesus as Savior of our life. Thank you, Father, that the strength of our country is not our army, is not our economy, is those believers across the country who believe in you and hold the faith of our fathers. Thank you, Father, for this. Father, we do have some people who are sick in our church, and we pray for the speedy recovery in them, and some of them will not recover, like Fanny Cassida. We have her now with dialysis. And we pray that during this period, not only she be receive comfort from above, but also Ed Casada, that he may learn how to minister his wife in this special moment of their life. Thank you for seeing Mrs. McCormack and for the recovery that you have established on her leg. And we pray that this will come to a complete healing. Father, we are grateful that you provide for us. We are grateful that you gave us the opportunity to work and to earn money. And part of that money belongs to you. And so, Father, we bring this offering to you today as a demonstration of our love for the ministry and our love for our Savior. So bless the giver and bless the offering. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Darrell speaking to you, and I want to announce from now on that on June 19 we're going to have father and son breakfast, and we're going to invite as many people as possible to come here to our church, and we're going to be serving the breakfast right here in our facilities. Father and son breakfast, June 19. And otherwise, here is our phone number, 778-2595, area code 408. I repeat again, our phone number is 778-2595. If you want to reach the pastor, it's 779-2300. May God bless you. Let us join the service in progress.
Choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and to turn to Psalm 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 433. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 13. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will I hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, blessed is thy holy name. Glory unto thee, O Lord God Almighty, through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in whose name we come before thee, O Lord God. As thy word is revealed to us, as David cried out for the sorrows that he had in his heart, as the sorrows that also we have, O Father. But in the same instant you gave David that trust and assurance of the salvation in Christ Jesus in our lives, and so we stand also, mighty God, and say, thank thee, O Lord God, for all that thou hast done for us and all that you are going to do for us. We pray, almighty God, that you'll be with your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people today, that others may know that there is a cure for sorrowness of the heart, and that is the salvation of Christ Jesus in their lives. This we ask and pray, almighty God. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for the reading of God's Word. I just want to, before the sermon this morning, let you know that today, right after church service, we have the church quarterly business meeting. And so I hope you stay for these, where there is a financial report and pastoral report and so on. and questions to be asked. This is the time where if you have a question, you can ask the board, as it will be presided by our brother Jack Kasanjan, the chairman. All right? And I say it back of the stage to the people and on the audience, as you were here in the offertory. I was talking on the other side through radio. We have that facilities here that you can hear one thing and I can say another over there. But I just want to let you know that on Saturday, the 19th, we have the men's and son, father and son breakfast, and it's going to be served right here at the church. All right? And we hope that you do not miss that great event with a lot of men come and rejoice in the Lord. We praise God, and then only we praise God. We listen to God's words. I guess the speaker come and speak to us. And after all, we're going to enjoy a beautiful breakfast together. Now let's look to God's word in Psalm 13 this morning. Psalm 13. And let's pray that God may guide us in our study of this wonderful psalm. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit will enable each one of us to understand the scripture and to leave this place with the strength from God. And Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. During this month of May, we are preaching messages that bless the believer. And the first one was learning to worship. Remember? In John chapter 4, you have to worship with the heart. Last Sunday, we talked about learning about motherhood. And we remember that Paul recalled in the life of Timothy, his great mother and his great grandmother. And we went to 1 Samuel and studied from there the wonderful picture of Hannah. And the contradiction to that picture was Athaliah, that woman who taught her son to do evil. And he was king over the land of Israel. Now, today's sermon is about learning to cope with sorrow. Learning to cope with sorrow. And the Bible teaches us that sometimes circumstances causes us sorrow. Let me give you an example. If you move your Bible from Psalm 13 a little bit back to the book of Nehemiah, just a few books before the book of Psalm is the book of Nehemiah. And as you look to that reference, I can tell you about Nehemiah. He was the FBI of King Artaxerxes. And the FBI at that particular time have a very, very close call every time the king will drink something. Nehemiah has to drink it first, and then if he survived, then he passed the cup to the king. No other cup, the same cup. So he was close to the king. Wherever the king went, here is Nehemiah. And the king was thirsty. So he said, here's a glass of water. Nehemiah, we got the water, drink. He's alive. Okay, king, now you can drink. So they were very close. And the king Artaxerxes was one, from Iraq. He knew exactly the face of Nehemiah. He knew Nehemiah to the T. Look in chapter 2 and in verse 1. It came to pass, by the way, Nehemiah have learned that the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, he never been there, he was born in captivity, but he learned from other people the glory of Israel was gone. The great walls were destroyed and the gates were destroyed. Everything was in misery and he was depressed. I mean, really depressed. Now look in chapter 2, verse 1 in Nehemiah. It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, the wine was before the king. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. I took the wine, I drank the wine, and then gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Well, he cannot afford to be sad before the king. He will be shot. He will be gone. Now look at verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance, thy face sad? Seeing thou art not sick, you are not sick, we're wrong. This is nothing else but what? Sorrow of heart. And so you can see that circumstances can make even a believer sorrowful in the heart. We believers are not apart from this. When something happens, then it's proper and it's possible that we may get sorrow in our heart. So circumstances can cause people to have a sorrowful heart. Also, people can cause us to have a very sorrowful heart. Let me show it to you, especially in the family. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And let me read verse 26. Proverbs 19:26. Sorrow of heart could be circumstances. Sorrow of heart could be people, the cause of it. Proverbs 19:26 says, "He that wasted his father." The word "wasted" is the word "mistreat." Some Bibles maybe translate that word "mistreat" his father. Other Bibles translate the word "assault" his father. In other words, who is violent. Actually, the verb is so intense that the word is, he that is violent with his father and chases away his mother, doesn't want to hear the counsel of his mother, is a son that causes, the King James says, shame. Sorrow is the word. It's a son that causes sorrow and bring reproach. You see that? A son that doesn't listen to the father and make his life miserable, and a son that don't want to hear mama's counsel, a son like that causes sorrow in the heart of their parents. And that's true. That's true. So sorrow is real. I'm not talking here this morning about some theory. I'm talking about some reality that we all experience in life. So sorrow is not the problem. The problem is this. How do you and I handle sorrow? Well, God has given us a complete book. And David is a great picture for every drama of life. And in Psalm 13, we have the solution. We have a problem. We have a solution. First, I want to show you that the Bible reveals in Psalm 13 that David had a sorrowful heart. David had a sorrowful heart. Then also I want to show you that David knew what to do when that circumstances approached his life. If you read the book of Psalms, you know that from chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11 in the book of Psalms, David is losing a battle. And in that battle, is losing his own son. And then he asked the Lord to conquer his enemies, but at the same time, he asked the Lord in Psalm 10 to be gracious to his son. And Joab, the general of the army, was merciful to his son and brought his son to death. And David then burst into cry, even though his son wanted to kill his own father. And so look at the sorrow of David. Verse 1 and 2. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face before me? Look at verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart, when? Daily. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? This man is a very sick man, inwardly. Let me review this to give you an idea. How deep is this? Verse 1 reveals that David had lost completely the peace with God. In order to understand this, put one hand in the psalm and go with me to the book of Romans in chapter 8 and in verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. And look at what the Bible says about believers' spirit. These are believers. The spirit itself, the spirit of God, bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You may be theologically confused. You may be not sure about certain things, but there is one thing when you're a believer, and this precious thing is the spirit of the living God that don't let you go. Even though sometimes you read and you see circumstances and you deal with people and things are really bad, and you sometimes are, we get so depressed and so sorrowful that we even do not read the scripture, there is something that God has in power, and that's his spirit to talk to our spirit and bring us back. Now, look at how serious it is when you go back to Psalm 13, verse 1. Look at what David says. Said, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. You see what happened? David lost that peace. David lost that relationship. David lost even the sense of praying to God and saying, God, here is me. And in Psalm 9, he prayed. In Psalm 10, he prayed. In Psalm 11, he's courageous in prayer. He lost everything because time passed by and he's confronted by the enemy over and over and over again. Now, David is a man who went into the battlefield and win. He never stayed more than 3 days at the Bible and battlefield. He win. He was a master general. And now he cannot conquer the enemy. Why? Because the enemy was his own son. And he wanted to be so careful to eliminate everybody except touching his son. Until he withdrew into a tent and his general go into the battlefield and he finished with his son. And so he pray and looks like in Psalm 13, he lost completely the presence of God and the peace of God. And this is a long time, and it's no more than 3 months in this battle. Look at what he said. Lord, this is forever. What are you, Lord? Have you ever said that? Things are so bad with you, and so bad maybe in your work, so bad in your family, so bad in the relationship between father and son, mother and son, mother and daughter and son, so bad the things go on that you say, Lord, what are you? I won't talk to you. That's sorrow of heart. That's sorrow of heart. Not only that, if you look in verse 1, how long will thou hide thy face from me? David lost all hope. Now, this is the man who wrote this, Psalm 33, please. Go with me to Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Now, this is the man who wrote that. He wrote, in a sense, he said, the real blessing of God, the real power of God, the real touch of God is upon those who really hope in God. But then, when the sorrow of heart have taken him, when the circumstances and people have taken him, he writes and he said, how long will thou hide thy face from me? Lord, where are you so that I can put my trust in you again? Lord, where are you? If this man was in America today, the psychiatrist will give some shots to this fellow to get well. I mean, this is hyper state of depression. Not only that, look at in verse 2. Verse 2 reveals that David has lost patience. And when you lose patience, you lose yourself. Believe me. Look at what he says. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Every day is a heavy day. Have you one of those days like that? One of those weeks like that? That every day of the week is a heavy week. Maybe young people, when you study and you cannot understand, and you have one of those teachers who is mean. Have you had one of those? I had one in chemistry. I took chemistry when I was 13, 14, and 15. I took inorganic chemistry, organic chemistry, and compositional chemistry. By 15, I knew all the subjects. But boy, in organic chemistry, I had one of those teachers that you cry when you went to the. And we have 4 hours. You cry. He was single, 62 years old, dressed in black all the time, knew everything. I mean, she knew the charts and the things, and she picks on me. She will say, Mr. Otero, oh, it's old. You know, here we are. I went over there, she said, right by memory. She will be right by me. We have big boards. And she will just stand by me, say, right by memory. And she will, again, you miss a number. You know, and when she was a tiny, short lady, you want to go and click it in the head. And, you know, that she was so tough that even the flies went away from the classroom. I mean, real tough. Have you young people had one of those? And you have it for a semester or so. I have it for 3 years. Best teacher of the school, best professor of chemistry, best lady in the lab. I learned to memorize things with her because, you know, I was proud. As I'm a man, I don't teach that woman that a man knows something, and that saved me. Otherwise, everybody in that class, we were 75 students. We finished 13. 13. Because she will say, if you have no NA, I don't need you. Get out of here. You have to have an A. 99 or 100 was the score acceptable for her. Because your boy, I can't see her. I can see her. You know, I mean real something. And she was so nice outside the classroom. One time I met her on the professor's room. And she left the purse in the class, and I took the purse, and, oh, she was so kind. I said, I can't believe these are the same person. See, David lost patience. He said, how long, said verse 2, shall my enemy be exalted over me? Lord, I have no control of this anymore. I have no hope of this anymore. This is absolutely terrible. Now, I'm going to show you in the Bible people who have a lot of patience. Let me show you. One man, look, 18 years. John 5. See, we think that, because we have instant coffee and we have instant tea, instant soup, we think that everything has to be instant. But look at here. In John Gospel, in chapter 5, you know what happened there. There was a man who, there was a pool of Bethesda. And there were people, they need to be beside the pool. And when the angel of the Lord will come in and move the waters of the pool, the man who touched it first will get healed. And look at what the Bible says. Here's a man standing there. And verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity, a disease. How long? 38 years. And he never gave up. He said, you know, this man went over there knowing that it was impossible for him to walk. Remember? He was a lame man. But he could do something about it if somebody bring him. But they dropped him over there. And when the waters move, the man cannot go. But 38 years, he's waiting. Wow, that's patient. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lay down there and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said, fellow, will thou be made whole? Pays off sometimes to have patience in the Lord. Pays off. So David is in care. Let me show you in Luke Gospel, in chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. Here is Luke Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 11 and 12. And behold, said Luke Gospel, chapter 13, 11, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, a disease, 18 years, and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. She had a disease of 18 years. And Jesus saw her and said, "Woman, thou art loose from that disease. Just move on." Well, here is David. Went back to Psalm 13. David is a sick man. He will walk in St. Louis Hospital. They will send it to O'Connor Hospital because he needs big treatment in the world of psychiatry. But no, David is a believer. He's a believer. He could be affected by a sorrowful heart. Yes, sir. He could be depressed. Yes, sir. He could be down to nothing. Yes, sir. But he's going to get out of that because he's a believer. Now, the question is how? Well, he tells us here. First, in verse 4, in verse 3, and in verse 4, he prayed. He prayed. Now, usually, when we pray in that stage, we pray for, "Lord, solve the problem. Lord, heal the situation. Lord, do something about this and do something about the other." We know what to do, and we tell God what he needs to do, like he forgot to do it. But look at how he prayed. It's important. He prayed for mercy in verse 3. "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." That's mercy. "Consider, consider, and hear me, O Lord my God." He prayed for mercy. Now, why did he pray for mercy? What did he know? Well, look here in Lamentations in chapter 3, what the Bible says about mercy. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Look at what the Bible says. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Lamentation is right after Jeremiah. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning." You like that? "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so David knew that God can give you a tough day today for a lesson to us, but tomorrow morning, here is the mercies of God available. And so he prays, "Lord, please consider my way." He don't say, "Lord, do this and do the other." That's telling God what to do. But rather, he came to God and said, "God, is me. I surrender." Boy, that God sometimes has to press us and press us until we surrender. Have you tried doing something and trying and trying and trying and nothing gone until you go to God and say, "Lord, I handle my husband to you," and then the whole thing changed. "Lord, I give you my children to you. Lord, I give my wife to you. You handle them." And change. That's what he's doing. David said, "Lord, remember me." That's all. No condition, no details. "The Lord, remember me." And then in verse 4, actually in verse 3, he prayed for enlightenment. "Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the deep of death." Lighten my eyes. What that mean? Well, the New Testament have a man praying in that way, and it's in Ephesians chapter 1. You move your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, you have the Apostle Paul, who always taught a great doctrine of things, great doctrinal statements, but never let the doctrinal statements about salvation hanging on the air. He always put the application on it. Look at Ephesians 1, starting in verse 15. Now, remember, David said, lighten my eyes. What that mean? Here is what it is. Paul said to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 1 and in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what do you mention, Paul? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, that God, through the Holy Spirit, will help you to understand the scripture. And then in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, Paul said, here is what we all need. We don't need healing of this or healing of the other, of this or the other. What we need is to understand the revelation of God. Wow! That's possible to all of you. If you are a believer, you do have the Holy Spirit. And if you do have the Holy Spirit, you can really read the scripture and understand what's going on in your, at the particular moment of your life, and get peace from God. That's the way we Christians get peace from God. Not through a dream, not through something that happened to us, but through the revelation of God. The enlightenment of God. Somebody told me the other day, Pastor, things are bad in America. I said, it's going to be worse. And they said, and then I'm going to rejoice. Why? What kind of business are you? I said, I'm going to rejoice because as worse the world gets in, there is one thing that's going to happen. What is it? The Lord Jesus is coming again. All right? Amen. He's coming again. The world have forgotten this. The world have forgotten, we, the Christians, forgot that the Lord is coming again, my brother. And all these troubles and all these difficulties that we experience today, being enlightened by the Word of God, is going to go away. Because in the heavens where we go is an entire different ball game than today. The world to be is different than the world here on earth. God is going to be there. The sun is not going to be there. So eternity is possible. See, the sun blocks eternity. Because as the sun comes up and goes down, marks a day. But the sun's revelation is not going to be there. God is going to be there. And God's going to bring the light that Genesis 1 talked about it. When he said, be the light. Without the star. Somebody asked me the other day, why there is two lights in Genesis? One is the light of God, the spiritual. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, be the light. Without the sun and the moon. This is God, my friend. And one day in heaven, we're going to be there. That's my hope. This world is not my hope. The circumstances in this world is not my hope. My hope is in the Lord. And so David said, Lord, enlighten me. And believers, enlighten yourself. Do not learn about your problem. Learn about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We're going to live forever with him. And the little tingling things that happen today are going to be gone. Never remember. We're going to be with him. I feel sorry for those who believe not. So David prayed. And he said, I feel sorry because I'm missing something. What he was missing is the revelation of God. And so he prays, God, please enlighten me. What's wrong with me? Enlighten me. And must be a quick enlightenment because then David magnified God in spite of his sorrowful heart. Look at verse 5 and in verse 6 is outstanding. In verse 5, he may lose his life, but know his faith. Look at verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice. Did God change the circumstances? No. Now he got back into place. He said, my heart shall rejoice in what? In my salvation. My brother and my sister, we all have sorrowful moments in our life through circumstances and through people. But when that happened, why we don't learn from David? See, sorrow of heart blocks away the treasure that is in our heart, our salvation. We are not saved from circumstances. We are not saved from people. I tell you, we are saved from the wrath to come. We are saved from hell, my brother and sister. That's deeper than people and circumstances. And so David is saying, Lord, I rejoice, I'm saved. Now, if you don't believe me, go to the airport, any airport in the United States. Just stand in the airport and go and greet people and say, sir, I know the Lord Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus? And they will look to you like, say, this guy lost his marbles. Always I do that with my car as a reporter because you can be in jail maybe. Misunderstanding. I do it. I go through 100 people. Cannot find one. One time in Oakland Airport, I found one who said, yes, sir, I know the Lord. Only one. And I feel, and then I feel so good. I said, God, and you have chose me out of thousands to be your son. Thank you, God. I forgot about it. Then I go to my car. And I rejoice. When you are down, just do that. Go on the street and greet people. Say, hey, how are you? I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? They look, say, this guy lost his marbles. And then very soon you know how privileged you and I are. And then you and I will know how rich is this salvation that we have. People can take your house, can take your job, can take the life of some of your children, but they cannot take your salvation. It's a gift of God to you. Boy, is that wonderful. Is that wonderful. Verse 5 reveals David magnified the Lord. He came back. Remember, he prays, Lord, give me light into my cucuzza. Now, cucuzza in Italian means your head. Give me light in my cucuzza. Lord, teach me. I'm losing something. Yes, God, this is what you're losing. You're losing your perspective. You're looking everything down rather than looking up. My brother and my sister, when sorrow heart comes, we look down rather than looking up. Nehemiah, he received from his brother Hananiah the news, our country, our people, our walls are gone. There is no more Israel. Come on, Nehemiah, you knew prophecy. Nehemiah is almost the last book of the Old Testament. You know the prophecies. Then Nehemiah going to sorrow. See, when we close our mind and we think in ourselves, we're going to sorrow heart. God took an unbeliever, Artaxerxes, a key man in history, to tell him, say, here it is, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? So Nehemiah was scared to death. He doesn't explain well. He died. So he said, I tell you, you know what happened? And they took the wall. They did this, they did this. And then the Bible said, and the queen was sitting. We learned that on Wednesday. And the queen was sitting by the king. And the king said, Nehemiah, the king Artaxerxes was like President Clinton is today, the most powerful man in the world. And he said to Nehemiah, said, Nehemiah, can I help you? Ooh. And Nehemiah was a Jew. So, oh, yeah, I have my listing. Now, let me see, king. He gave everything. By the way, here's my offering. I forgot to put it on. And the king goes on and on and on and on and on. And then after he finished, this is the miracle. After he finished, the king looked at him and said, oh, Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was trembling. Huh? He asked for wood. He asked for these. You know, he knew everything. He said, oh, you have a lumber company and these. You have these. You read chapter 2. Nehemiah knew everything in that empire. You these. And the king listened. Said, Nehemiah, all of this is good. But you forgot one thing. We got enemies. So I'm going to see the elite army of Artaxerxes in front of you. My brother, when we look down, we forgot that the elite army of heaven is on behalf of each one of us. That the angels of God are for us. That the presence of God is in us. Oh, then let us not look down. Let us look up. Verse 6 still is this. After he got back into the thing, he said, I will sing unto the Lord because he did everything for me. No, the battlefield is still on. The son is still loose until a few more chapters. You don't find the death of his son. But he said, I win already. You see that? He said, Lord, I just have a job to do. I have to praise your name. Because this is what happened. Now, Let me show you a man who's dying. He's dying not because he caused the dead. He's dying because he believed in God. And let me show you how he died. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. His name is Stephen. And look at how beautiful the Bible relates the last moment of this man. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Great Stephen testified about the greatness of God. In the Bible, in verse 54 of Acts 7 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, the Pharisees. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. My brother, this is ours. This is our hope. If we die, here is Jesus at the right hand of God waiting for us. We have no problem in dying. But the unbelievers do. Because if you are an unbeliever and if you die, let me show you where you go. Because you need to know. In Psalm 115, look at what the Bible says. This is the place where you go, my friend. If you really, Psalm 115, verse 17. If you're an unbeliever, you better go to O'Connor Hospital someplace to drink some drugs. In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs said, give wine to the unbelievers. See, wine is for unbelievers. Give wine to the unbelievers so they forgot their problems, said the Bible. And look at in Psalm 115, verse 17. Where the unbelievers go, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. They go to a place called silence. And one day, it's a Revelation chapter 20, the trumpet will sound and God will bring the resurrection of all the dead people into the final and only judgment that God will do. And then the believers will not pass through the judgment. They will be hosted with the lawyer Jesus into the jury. You as a believer will not be judged. You will be the jury. And you will be sitting there. And all the unbelievers there without a lawyer. That is problem. That is sorrow. If you're an unbeliever and you got a good job and you got a great house, enjoy it now. Because when you die, if you die as an unbeliever, you will enjoy a house full of fire. I'm saying this in love. I don't know how you say hell and love, but that's what it is. That's what we come to church, to learn about God. And so how do you cope with sorrow? You pray for wisdom, number one. See, that was verse 3 and 4. You pray for wisdom, and then verse 5 and 6, you enjoy God. You can enjoy your son or your daughter, your husband. Enjoy God. Don't let people take the joy of the Lord from you, please. Don't let me listen to people, be kind to people, but enjoy the presence of the living God once for all. There is a great lady who hosted Good Morning America for 23 years. And then one day she was fired. She talked so much about it. Oh, I'm sick and tired. I need to take care of my children. I need to do this. Her boss came in and said, darling, in a week, you're gone. What? Yeah, you're gone. You wish to go? The ratings, this is how radio is. Radio is the most terrifying work because if the letters are not coming around, you're moved out. And so the letters are not coming. The phones are not coming. You out. This is what she wrote in a book. She needed about 3 psychiatrists to help it. Finally, she kicked all of them out, and she wrote this. A bend on the road is not the end of the road if you know how to navigate the curve. My brother and my sister, A bend on the road that God blocks is not the end of the road if you know how to navigate the curve. May God bless us, that we, people of God, may handle sorrow God's way. Thank you, Father, for the counsel that you gave us today in your word. Each one of us believers in Christ, each one of us experienced sorrow at one time or another. Sometimes, Father, because of circumstances, we lose a job, somebody die in our family. Sometimes because of people, misunderstandings, rebellion, especially with children who grow up and then disobey their parents. Like the Bible said, that brings tremendous sorrow in the heart of a mother and really depress the father. So, Father, today you gave us the revelation of God. You gave us what to do with that sorrow. We need to look up and ask for wisdom and then enjoy the salvation of God. Oh, thank you, Father, for the simplicity of your word and the power of your spirit. In Christ Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Just feeding for us. And my sermon today was to let you know that there is comfort for us who are believers. That the comfort is not in this world. It's way above in the presence of our God. Remember, after the greeting, we have the